In Acts chapter 1, it says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Spirit. This was right before Jesus left this earth, right before he ascended to heaven. He called his apostles and he said, you stay here in Jerusalem because something really special is going to happen. And, you know, Jesus never lies. And something special did happen. On the day of Pentecost, many of you know that many Israelites were gathered in the temple, and something special happened. There was a blowing of wind, and tongues of fire just came from nowhere, and they descended on the apostles, and it caused such a great stir that people from all over came to hear the apostles speaking, and they were speaking miraculously in different languages. And the apostle Peter stood up and he preached what would become the very first message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And in his message, he says this in Acts 2, verse 16. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. He quotes an Old Testament passage spoken by the prophet Joel. And he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, what's inspiring about that passage? Now, remember, this is the very first time he was telling people about the good news of Jesus. And he quotes a passage in Joel. And in that passage, there's this amazing prophecy that God's going to pour out his spirit on men and women, on the young and the old. And that they would, something special would happen as God pours out the Spirit, that person gains access to God's church. And something special happens in the hearts of the young men and women and the old men and old women who hear the word. They start working together for God's glory. There's a passage, Acts 2:17. And I'm going to give some scriptures here. I want you to check it out for yourself. Young men are going to see visions. Sons and daughters are prophesying. Old men are going to dream dreams. So today's message is the young, the old, and the will of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for stirring our hearts this morning. We thank you for the way you have worked in the lives of the young men and women who were up here sharing and all who were at teen camp. Thank you for the parents and the teen workers and the volunteers. God, as we study your word, may your teaching be like the morning dew. May your word bring healing to our souls. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The young, the old, and the will of God. Now, throughout scriptures, God has demonstrated his willingness to use any human being to accomplish something special on his behalf. And God has worked through human beings regardless of their gender or their age. You just have to look at the Old Testament and you see. Men and women, God called Noah, a man, to build an ark to save his family. His story is found in Genesis 6, verses 11 to 21. Men and women, God used Deborah, a woman, as both prophetess and leader of Israel. Her story is found in Judges 4 and 5. Young and old, God used David. He was a mere teenage boy to engage in battle with Goliath, a seasoned Philistine warrior. His story is found in 1 Samuel 17. Young and old, God used Mary, a very young woman at the time when she was called to carry his son in her womb. Mary's story is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Young and old, God used Anna, a very old prophetess. She was an elderly single woman. Her husband had died. But she was at the temple the very same day that Jesus' parents came to present him to the priest. She was there, and God used her to recognize his son and to give glory to God when she saw the infant Jesus in the temple. Her story, you can find it in Luke 2, verses 36 to 38. And so this is how God works. The young and the old, male and female. He created all of us. And he wants to work through all of us as long as we are willing. God called Moses, an 80-year-old man. He was 80 years old to lead the Israelite people out of Egyptian bondage and into the promised land. God didn't have a problem with Moses' age. He didn't say, man, this is hard work for an 80-year-old man. No, Moses was the one who God chose. And he was 80 years old when he was chosen. I think we need to be reminded over and over again that God's ways are not like ours. That God thinks about people very differently from how we do. This is our current president, Joe Biden. Joe has served as the vice president to Obama, President Obama, for 8 years, and he was elected president of this country by a majority of the American people. There was a debate that took place, and this debate was broadcast all over the nation and all over the world. And President Biden did not do that well. It's tough to do well on a debate stage. It is not easy for any human being. He did not do well, and there was a great outcry about his age. This one poor public performance made people doubt his ability to lead the nation. I was on sabbatical, but I was glued to my television, watching to see what would happen. And day after day, the clamor just increased. Every day, the media could not stop talking about his performance and his age. And then there was a video that circulated where other people were dancing, and President Biden just had a different rhythm to him. And it became a big laughing matter. If you saw my family dancing and me, you'd be laughing at me too. My family laugh at my dancing all the time. And then I saw this. This magazine is called The Economist. It has over 1.5 million people who subscribe to it. And this was on the front cover. No way to run a country. And we see the President of the United States emblem attached to a walker. And on and on and on this narrative went about the president's age. Now, they may have been speaking about Joe, but they had an impact on the views that we have about old people in the workplace. And maybe it had an impact about the views of old people in the church. And there was a letter that was written in the New York Times. It says, if you want to admonish a person, diminish their standing, or destroy their career, just call them old. Isn't that interesting? Now, God doesn't have a problem with old people. You feeling me? He doesn't have a problem with old people, but it seems like this really is no country for old men. Now, here's what the Bible says. 1 Peter 2 says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. The church is a family. And in a family, there are young people and old people. There are men and women. Each have their place in a family. It's a dangerous thing to say that a church needs to look a particular way. Who are we to say to God how a church needs to look? We need more old people or less old people or more young people. Who are we to say how a church needs to look? We're the family of believers. We need each other. We need to learn how to respect each other and build each other up. We need to encourage the young men and women. We need to converse with them. We need to learn to honor the older saints who have hung there in the trenches for many years. We got to lift them up too. This may not be a country for old men, but this is a church for old men and old women. Can I get an amen? We don't want to be a place. We don't want to be a place where we deride and ridicule people because of something they can't control. Whether it's the color of their skin, whether it's their age or the language that they speak. We are a family of believers. Amen, church? And that's how God wants us to think of his church. As a family of believers. I got 30 seconds left. And the good news is that Saray is awake. I'm fired up, Saray. I'm fired up. You're hanging in there. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. This passage reminds us not to think of one another from the perspective of the world. You know, I think we got to do the hard work on ourselves to escape the world's point of view about age and about youth. And it's not going to be easy work, but because we're believers, we got to do the work on ourselves. Someone said it earlier, you can't change the world, but we can change the world that we exist in. Amen? Because the Spirit of Christ is always transforming us on the inside. He is renewing the way we think. And this doesn't happen automatically. We got to look at the scriptures and make sure that we are aligning ourselves with God's way of thinking. We've got to reject the worldly and destructive views that are out there. Okay? Because they're out there. We've got to reject those destructive views and embrace the view of Christ. The Spirit of God continues to do his work. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. The young men are going to see visions. And the old men are going to dream dreams. Let's, as a collective body of Christ, encourage the young men and women to prophesy. Let's encourage the young men to see visions. And let's support the old geezers as they dream dreams to build up the kingdom of God. To God be the glory. Amen.